5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. Right now, I'm speaking with Kendrick Bracey, KB, as he's known in these streets. But you know what? As he's known as in all these communities. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
So I grew up in New Haven. I like to say, I grew up in New Orleans. But I also was always around all over the city just because of family dynamic. My grandfather, he had me all over the place, you know, with him.
Before we go, give me grandpa's name.
George Bracey.
What kind of influence was he in your life?
I mean, a big, big influence, you know, other than just being my grandfather, just watching him. He was a police officer for the city of New Haven. He ran the police athletic league. On Jefferson Street, it's now the Elite Building. So right in the G, or Farnham Court area. I grew up there. I got friends over there. Those are still my childhood friends from over there. I was always know about community, you know what I mean? Being around him so much, you know, and just, you know, the love he had for everybody in New Haven. He didn't look at, you know, anybody, no matter what your situation was or anything like that. He seen something good in everybody, you know. I carry some of the things that he's taught me through life with me every day, you know.
Your parents were around?
Yeah, my parents were around, you know. But I was one of those kids. I was just always with my grandfather, you know. He's the one bringing me to all. I was in every sports league around here in New Haven. Every community center, you know, there wasn't a place that I didn't have a childhood or I don't have a childhood memory at, you know, if it was at Farnham, if it was at the Boys and Girls Club, you know, I was everywhere, you know, West Rock. You know, so.
Be careful kicking the microphone because I'm hearing slapping the mic. Okay. You're getting excited, getting animated, talking about grandpa. Let's get back into this. What is something that, I mean, you remember going and visiting all these places. How important is that to have that male role model in your life, and how big of an influence was he?
Oh, it was very important for me. You know, it gave me my foundation. You know, I had somebody to look up to. You know, telling me and giving me game as we was going with a lot of stuff. But I learned a lot from other people as well too. You know, people in my neighborhood, older cousins and stuff like that too. I was always kind of very observant. You know what I mean? But somebody that was always steering me in the right direction, gave me myself value, you know, and let me know who I am and, you know, what I come from. And I was able to, you know.
I could see that because, and that's what you do for these youth. I mean, you give them recognition with the HBCU mm-hmm. Alumni Association. I mean, you really are big. And then you got the basketball with the youth. That acknowledgement that you got, you're pouring into making sure that there's another generation that feels it.
Oh, no, definitely. You know, that's very important to me, you know, just because there was people that liked that for me and that had my back like that, you know. So I try to give that all, you know, to the youth today, you know, to make sure that, like, listen, no matter what it is, you could chase it, you could be whatever you want to be, you know what I mean? Set some goals for yourself and really just make it happen, you know what I mean? So no matter what type of situation you're in.
What schools did you go to?
So growing up, you know, I went to Martin Luther King and West Hills. After West Hills, you know, I was all over kind of the place where I was going to go to high school. And then my parents, we ended up moving. So I went to Hamden High. And so after him to high, I was on the college journey.
What were some teachers that really stuck out for you through your journey?
I mean, I had a few teachers. One in particular is actually someone that I have my nonprofit with now, Miss Medria Blue. I was probably one of her first class or students, you know, and some of my friends was in her first class when she came back up from Howard University. She was always, you know, me was kind of bad. It was four of us out that group that was really, really close, you know, and they all were my best friends. But two of them has passed away. Right now, they lost their life, you know, in the streets. And then, you know, one of my other friends, he's doing very good right now for himself. And me and him have the same passion, what we're doing with, like, training and helping kids and stuff like that. But the foundation she set with us, you know, just as being Black men and knowing that we have choice to we should focus on our education, because we was doing all type of stuff and being class clowns in her class and stuff like that. But you know, she was always, you know, very supportive of us, you know, and she watched us grow up over the years. And a few years back, me and her started a nonprofit together with three other people.
It's very interesting you mentioned that there was four of you, and it's, you can all come from the same background, but it's just choices, right? Mm-hmm. You said choices, the choices you make in life. Yep. Can you talk about a little bit about what helps make a better choice, or what helped you?
I mean, is what you around, you know? I was around different people all the time. You know, I got friends that was in the streets. I was around them, but I also had friends that were doing good things as well. So it's all about what you're around, what you set you around. Like, not everybody that's in the streets are, you know, bad people. I learned a lot from them as well, too, on just, you know, just certain things, certain characteristics. You know, everybody has an it with them, though, you know. Just some people are just not fortunate or don't have other people around them feeding them and really pouring into them with some of the stuff, the reinsurances that they really need to really be successful.
Hmm. Who are your parents?
So my mom's from New Orleans, Louisiana. You know, she's definitely my rock, my backbone.
What's her name?
Terry. And then my father, Kent, definitely, you know, my father's always been supportive of whatever I do. If I'm playing basketball or me starting a business and stuff like that, he's like, all right, you know what I mean? I know you got it, you know. So my parents are definitely very important to me, you know what I mean? They still know a lot to me as well. You know, my mom's being from New Orleans, that's another one of my backgrounds. So, you know, I used to be up here and get out of school or summer camp done or whatever I'm done now, she's shipping me down south. So I always had a life in New Orleans, you know, as well. And then when I went to college, you know, it picked up a little bit more for me as well.
You have people that focus on your development. Were there times in your life where you were more lost than found, and what helped you find your way?
I've been through it, you know. I was trying to find myself at times, sometimes not being involved in the right stuff, you know. And then, you know, one thing that really helped me, you know, after I graduated college, I still didn't know what I was really set to do, you know, and I wasn't doing everything that was right. But I came home, got situated, and I was trying to go to school to get my master's. And that didn't work out the way I wanted to. But I got around the kids. I started coaching and giving back some of my time over at Farnham. And the kids helped me a lot. You know, they really helped change my life and kind of helped me shape into really what I really wanted.
But as a youth, mm-hmm. Things are tougher.
Oh, yeah.
There's the allure of the streets, right?
Yep.
And
100%. You start seeing a bunch of different things. It's definitely
seeing cars,
chasing money.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be the freshest, you know. So, you know, that was always the thing. You got to be fresh. So, you know, you want money, you know. So there's certain things that, you know, just you think that is more important, you know, than some other things. You know?
When you were young, whose voice was it in your head that made you choose the choices you made? Is it your granddad, you know, saying,
well,
Or is it your dad?
It was my grandfather too, because like I said, he was a cop. So it was like, yo, I couldn't. I had to always be mindful of that. But it was a lot. It was different situations and stuff at times, you know. One of my best friends passed away when I was young, you know, and he was a big brother to me as well too, you know. Yeah. So, and he was all the way on the right track, you know. So I was, you know, could always picture him being in my head, and you know, and that was, his name was Jarrell Fletcher. He was always in the back of my mind, like, yo, I gotta be doing right. Even it was sometimes I was doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. You know, so
you're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Kendrick Bracey, known as KB. We talk a little bit about college, and you. How important is it to get away from your immediate environment? I mean, you went to, you know, you spent some time in the South in the summers and stuff. Does that, how important is that to give you a different perspective on who you are?
So it was very important for me, you know, other than the aspect I got to build another, connection with my family that was down there. But it opened my eyes so much more than what was just going on in New Haven, you know. And I think a lot more people, you know, especially the youth, need to, there's more than New Haven, you know, and there's so much more that was out there. I met people from all over, you know, still a lot of people are still my good friends today, and they're doing all different, you know, great things, you know, and they're from all different walks of life, from all different cities. You know, there's not a place I probably can't go, you know, every major city, and not being able to have a connection to hit somebody up.
Networking is so big.
Networking is big, you know. Even though on the end of what businesses and I'm in now, there's some people that I'm doing business with, you know, now, and they're in a whole different state, you know.
So. Historically, black colleges play a major role in our society and our culture, and especially if you're black and brown, especially if you're just black, because it gives you a sense of identity and community that you normally wouldn't get in you know, all white institutes. Yep. What would you say to the young man out there contemplating going to HBCU? Oh, I can't afford it, or I don't know if this is going to be good for me.
There's going to be a lot of different doubts, because there's a lot of people that'll say a bunch of different things to you. You know, you got to go where your heart is, you know, and if your heart is to be around, you know, others that look just like you, go through the same struggles, you know, go. There's a lot of history, you know, at a lot of these HBCUs. There's a lot of successful people that have come from these HBCUs, and you could definitely be one of them, you know. So I try to tell, that's my first thing. Did you think about an HBCU? You can go get some money there, you know. You are going to get a great experience that you can't pay for, because that's second to none. You're going to go to some of these, you know, other schools, and they just don't have the culture behind it. They don't have the experience that makes school fun, you know. And then go to school for what you love, you know, go to school where your passion is, could be, whether it's communications or if it's in athletics. My degree is in kinesiology, exercise science, you know, that was something I was passionate about doing. You know, if you really want to be a lawyer and you got the passion behind it, go be a lawyer. You business.
What HBCU did you go to?
So I went to Xavier University of Louisiana first. I was displaced because of Hurricane Katrina. And then I moved to Atlanta and I went to Morehouse College.
Oh, Morehouse. Okay, my bad. Ivy Leaguer in the building. My bad. Was there a culture shock at any of these schools, or especially Morehouse, because Morehouse has such a high standard? What was that? Was it easy for you to get acclimated at that?
So me personally, I'm just a hard worker. So the environment that I'm going to be around, I'm going to level up to that, you know, so... I had a great professor, you know, Dr. Wilson. And when I first went to sit and talk to him, he was like, there's something about you that I like. And I was just giving him my background and my story and stuff like that. And he was like, I'm going to make sure that you graduate. So for that, him telling me that, and that's all I know I needed to do. You know, I was the first male in my family to get a college degree. You know what I mean? So like, are you going to tell me I'm going to graduate? I'm going to put my trust in you. You know, and I'm going to work hard for it, too. So, you know, I did pretty well, you know, in my major over there and stuff like that. So
having someone to believe in you. Yeah. You touched on something that's very important, that you were the first. I mean, there's no blueprint, no roadmap, no nothing.
Yeah.
How courageous, and I guess it's a testament to resilience, right? That you took a risk and bet on yourself. I mean, how scary definitely. Was that?
It was tough. You know what I mean? Just to think about it like that, yo, I got to really do college. You know, I got to make it. I wanted to be an athlete, but now that didn't work. You know, I lost some scholarships. Grades wasn't right in high school. So now I still had to figure out, because I knew I had to graduate college because that's what my people wanted from me, you know? And then once I got there, I was like, yo, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do it. You know, and it happened.
How did you navigate having to structure yourself? Because maybe you coming from your house, right? Uh-huh. You got your mom and dad on you about things, but once you're in Atlanta and just you got to come up with your schedule and stick to something that's productive.
Atlanta was different, you know, because you know I was coming straight from New Orleans, which was a party city and stuff like that too, but it wasn't every night. You know, and we was in Atlanta. It was every night. You know, we had something to do Monday through Sunday. You know, but you know, you just got to be focused. You know, and Atlanta was a fast city too. You know, it was some times that, you know, I could have went the other way. You know, tried to do other things and just live fast because it's, they call it like the Black Hollywood. So you know, you really out. You're trying to catch up with just catching up with the Joneses and everything like that. So you could get easily caught up in there, but. You know, my purpose and knowing what I was there for and then being around Morehouse, you know, and seeing good, great men, you know, every day and everybody kind of with that same energy just to be successful, you know what I mean, helped me a lot.
On College Row.
Yep. Yep.
A lot of people there, yeah, Spelman, Clark Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Morris Brown,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Not like before, but yeah, that things have changed and evolved. When you go to, and you're like, I think I want you to talk more about being surrounded by people that are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful is that, and how is that what you try to do now when you were having these groups of kids together and you're trying to now give them exposure to adults that are like-minded?
Yep. So definitely with the kids, I try to preach that to them, you know, find people that want to chase the same thing that you envision for yourself. You know, those are the people that you want to surround yourself around. I try to build that network here too, as well. You know, there's some great people in New Haven doing some great things out of my peer group too, but I'm also getting game from the ones before me too. You know, I think that's what kind of has been able to help me be successful in a lot of different areas that I'm in. You know, I have people that I could go call and look to for advice, and, you know, and really kind of just help kind of keep shaping me as I go, because you don't never know it all. You never know it all. So, but definitely for the kids, man, it's just like really find people. If you got four or five friends, y'all all should be on the same page, you know, with what you really want to do. And you should be pushing him to do great things, and he should be doing the same thing for you.
I'm really fascinated because I want to talk about college life because, you know, a lot of these children don't even believe that there's something achievable.
No, no, no.
What was the most, what was the revelation for you, the most culture shock that you've experienced when you went to Morehouse? Because Morehouse is, I mean, what people don't understand that.
Yeah.
That's a whole different level of smart people. The IQ level is a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
Your BS doesn't go as far because...
Oh, nah, listen, because the teachers were on you. I had an art teacher, man, and I swear, man, he was like, he didn't play. He'd kick you out of class, he'd tell you, you know, if you ain't opening that book or you can't answer certain questions and stuff, kick you out of class, you come late, door shut, don't even think about coming in, like, and it was art. Some people thought it was just like art. They could play around, and he wasn't playing, you know. But he showed, he demanded respect, you know. As a man, it's like, you're going to learn something from this class, regardless if you just wanted to take it as an elective, but you're going to learn something. Morehouse was different, though. You know, it was definitely, even coming from Xavier, you know, it was a little bit different other than just, you know, going to school with, you know, predominantly males. And stuff like that, even though some of our classes were still mixed with Spelman students. But it was different though, man. Like, you know, you really just see the culture, man, of really just being proud to be a black man, like every day, like, you know, whether it was putting on, if you had to put on a tie, you know, some days for class, or just walking the campus or something, like it was a lot of pride, you know, at that school. Everybody's good, happy to be a Morehouse man, like, you know, so that was something that was different for me, you know.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Kendrick Bracey. KB, as he's known to all his fans and friends, I should say. More friends than fans. But the thing is, when you go to Morehouse, there's a certain standard, right, that's asked of you. Were you ready to step up, or was it intimidating, or do you not realize that you can live up to these standards, and these standards are not something that's unachievable?
Mm-hmm. So I had to get adjusted to it, you know. At first, it was like, I don't even know if I'm going to stay at Morehouse. You know, I was like, I'm going to go here for a semester. Xavier's going to open back up, and I'm going right back to New Orleans. But that wasn't the case for me. You know, every month, every week, it started to just kind of build on me more and more and more and more. And I was like, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. You know, I had good guidance, like I said, from Dr. Wilson. And it was just, I felt like at that point, it was like, you know, I just deserve to be here. I need to be around this. You know, my vision started there. You know, I laugh about it because another New Havener, Darryl Boyd Jr., and we family, you know, too. But he was one of the first people that I ran into that I knew, you know. He was from New Haven. We were on Morehouse campus together. And it was right by our senior year. He was like, yo, what you plan to really do? And I said, yo, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to do some club stuff at one point in time. I'll open up a club in New Haven. And he was like, all right. I said, but I'm, you know, I'm still going to do the fitness thing too. But he's the only person that I told that to at that point in time, because we were in Atlanta and we in the club every weekend and stuff like that. And it's just a different feel. I said, I'm going to do that when I go back home. And it happened, you know. But even the love that he showed me, he embraced me all the way, you know, when I was down there. And I said, like, we really extended family, but, you know, he was introducing me to everybody, and it made me feel like, you know, I was, you know, belong to be there.
I always say this because I'm born and raised in New Haven, like yourself. Mm-hmm. There's a different thing. There's a big difference with the sense of community and embracing each other that takes place in the South that doesn't really happen in New Haven.
Yep, that's a fact. But we're coming along a little bit.
Talk a little bit about that.
It's starting to change a little bit. I see a lot of people working together, you know, to try to, for the better of things. Do we need to do more? Yeah. Especially with getting to the younger generation. You know, we really have to come together and really be their backbone and listen to them. You know, we sometimes the people, you know, as we get older, we want to just kind of direct them, and we're not listening mm-hmm. to the youth. So I think it needs to be more, you know, men, especially from my age group, you know, and a little bit younger, that needs to get one or two of them, you know, if you could help change them and just listen to them and try to figure them out and then guide them, you know, the best way you can.
There's always self-preservation, right? Yep. I mean, people only offer assistance to make themselves more valuable. Yep. But then, so why can't we just give more blind, I call it like blind support, like mm-hmm. supporting just to be supporting, where there's no actual going to be any benefit? I mean, I think that feels like that's what happens in the South. When yeah. when you I go to DMV, or if I'm hanging out in the ATL with people and I just meeting them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it blows my mind. I meet one person and I will know about 200 or 300 people by the time I leave in 4 days. Yep. Because it's just they emphasize the network so much more. Mm-hmm. What can you advise young people here in New Haven about not being afraid to share, exchange information, and grow your network?
Well, especially, you know, one way we really need to do it is, especially for like the black businesses. I feel like that's a problem, you know, where we're not supporting our black businesses enough. And the black business owners need to kind of come together a little bit more, you know. We could be supportive, you know, regardless of if we even selling the same thing. You could still be supportive.
There's more than enough money for everything.
More than enough. And no one's going to understand what we go through more than the next person that's in business just like you, you know. So, you know, and I could say in my end in events and the club world and restaurant world, you know, that is going on a little bit, but it can go on a little bit more, you know. And then, you know, for our consumers, we need to keep supporting and not bashing. You know what I mean? A lot of people bash some of our black businesses and not understanding the struggle or what it really is that they're going through, what kind of makes it difficult for them to be in this small, you know, we're still a small city, you know. But there's enough for us out here. Like I said, there's some people doing some great, great things. You know, I love what a lot of dudes are doing. Gorilla Lemonade is one of them, you know. I love to see what they're doing and how they're pushing. And, you know, and he's still out in the community and time will tell.
I see him hustling that lemonade right in front of AAA over here on Whaley. Yep. Stop playing.
So they got it going. You know, the young kid, Josh, time will tell. You know, they have a good solid foundation in their vision of where their business is going, and they're still community first too. You know what I mean? So I definitely salute.
Which is very, very important.
Yeah, I salute them.
And I think that when it comes to businesses now, a lot of people want to see that community arm involved in something that they're dropping their money into.
Yep.
Even for me, I was like, yeah, I don't mind if I know that on the other end you're giving out, you know, like La Isla over here in Hamden, they're giving out uniforms for kids and stuff, you know. So it's like, in that case, you know, take my money, you know, because I know
it's going in a good place.
It's going to be funneled right back in.
And that's what we have to kind of do. Like I look at some of the stuff that we do is too many going on and not enough coming together. Like they don't need to be 50 book bag drives. When we could come together and do one and get the whole city to come out together and everybody seeing it. And the kids, like, we grew up in that time. Like, you know what I mean? I know for me, you know, I was able to go to every neighborhood through our community centers and stuff like that. Like I told you, my grandfather had me all over. But that's how I have the friends and the network that I have to this day. You know what I mean? That's why I was able to do it. When I started doing events and doing parties and stuff like that, I was getting everybody to come from every different neighborhood because I really grew up with them. You know, I got childhood memories with them. So I think that's why they supported me, you know, as well. So, you know, when it comes to the book bag drives and a lot of the community stuff, you know, I think we need to just kind of pour everybody, pour in together. If you could bring 10,000, bring 10,000 and put another group, put another 10,000 in. We could do way more with 20 and 50,000 other than just the 10,000 we have.
Like the way you're talking, brother. I appreciate that. Talk a little bit about this HBCU rally that you have.
So our biggest event is the send-off that we do. It's an amazing event. You know, every time July and June come, you know, I get excited, you know, just for the kids because we're able to really celebrate, you know, them doing good things, you know. Sometimes we celebrate the wrong things, you know, coming from our community and stuff like that. But celebrating kids going off to college, And building a, you know, a legacy maybe for even their family and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing the smiles on their faces and them networking with each other because they're going to the same school, you know, it's special to me, you know. So I love when that time comes around. You know, we bring that real experience the New Haven way, though, you know, because we have New Haven bands and we have the alumni that went to different HBCUs all over New Haven. We have our New Haven sororities and fraternities out there supporting our kids. So it's a special, special event.
You got the New Haven Heat.
Yep.
Another thing that you support, you know, AAU basketball.
Yeah, that's you know, between all the stuff that I do nonprofit wise, you know, Heat, we very, very special family, you know. What we do AAU wise and how we represent New Haven and Connecticut, when we go other places, like people don't even get a chance to really, really see. We posting some videos and stuff like that. You know, they see the talent that we're bringing out and showcasing other places, but they don't see the special moments that is happening when we're in different cities and, in different states, you know. And we playing hard-nosed basketball. Like, you know, we got some talented kids that give out their all out every weekend, you know. And we really for our kids. You know, there's nothing that, you know, we won't do for any kid in our program. You know, even if they don't go to play college basketball, they're still a part of New Haven Heat, you know. And we, look, we have a UConn alum. He has a ring from the basketball team. He's a manager on the basketball team. He has a ring, but he came from our program. He didn't play for UConn at the time, but it's still special that a kid from our program got a national championship ring just for being a manager on the basketball team, you know, and he's still being around something he loved, you know. And so, you know, I gotta shout, you know, him out for kind of just keep pushing. And, you know, even though basketball, he didn't end up playing in college.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and the words that you're hearing are from Kendrick Bracey. It says a lot because, you know, a lot of the kids have aspirations to become a professional basketball player, but the odds of that are lottery. Yep. It's a lottery. I mean, it's slim to none. Yep. But to land something within the sphere of what you like, I guess that is the focus right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yep. And I mean, we have a lot of kids playing college basketball right now. You know, I love to see it, even across, you know, Instagram, or I could be trying to check all the kids' box scores or just seeing what they post, because I can't make it to every game. But we got some Division I players playing all over, you know, and Division II, Division III, NAIA. You know, we got some kids going to some HBCUs. And there's actually some kids that play professionally overseas that came from our program as well, too. So it's just a good thing to just see, you know, where our program, you know, started from and where it is now to this day. And people have, you know, some people have no idea, you know, that it's all been homegrown from New Haven Heat.
This is the last few seconds in our program. Mm-hmm. The mic is yours. Anything that you want to say, any thanks or any acknowledgement or how to get in contact with you, the floor is yours.
I mean, you know, I'm always around. I think I'm a familiar face. I try to be, you know, but just to the people in my community, you know what I mean? Like, I'm definitely easy to talk to. And, man, whatever, if it's a plan of something that we could do to better our community, whether it's business-wise, helping and saving the youth in any aspect, you know, I'm 100% down for, you know. But, you know, let's keep trying to better and better, you know, New Haven. Better our surrounding areas, you know, because we can't act like, you know, New Haven has not spread to Hamden, West Haven and stuff like that as well. So we kind of need to all pour in together to help our kids, let them know that they still could be whatever they want to be, you know, and we give them the foundation that they need, whether if it's financial literacy, whether if it's help with, you know, going to the college, whatever it is, you know, we got to be supportive, you know, of them, and let's keep make sure we support ourselves, man. We support our black businesses and stay strong. You know, it's tough being an entrepreneur. You know, I go through a lot of different things, you know, just in the businesses, you know, that I run. And, you know, I know there's a lot of other people talking to other businesses. We go through a lot, you know, and we constantly need the support of our community so we could keep, you know, striving to be successful.
There you go. Kendrick Bracey, everyone, KB, as he's known in these streets. This has been the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, repping at 943 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. So thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
And like always, up there, people listening, thank you for your time.